Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Fairhaven. Greetings to you today. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of the teaching team here. I'm looking forward to sharing what the Lord has laid on my heart for this message. And I want to just take a moment. You know, I get to be here with you every now and then, every few months, and just to get to appreciate your worship team. But would you, with me, would you just take a moment and thank them again for what they do leading us in worship? You guys do great. It's kind of funny this morning. I came from Sandy Pines to preach this morning with a couple of our friends from out there, and Pastor Greg is at Sandy Pines preaching this morning, so we flipped spots. So I invite you, it's 10 o'clock there now as well. That's when the service is, so he'll probably be walking up to preach in just a moment, so I pray the Lord will bless his message, and I pray the same for this message. Mackenzie just said it. I pray that you've come today with listening ears. Like, I just want you to listen to what the Lord might say to you this morning, and I want you to apply it to your life. We're going to talk about a very simple topic, but it's really difficult to understand. If it was simple, everybody would be doing it, but it's not easy to do, and we're going to talk about that. I want to also highlight for you, you'll see it on the slide at the end of the message, but during the month of September, on the 23rd, the best way to remember that is it's Michael Jordan's number, September 23rd. There is an event going to happen at the Highland Civic Center where we're just calling the community together to praise and to honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're calling it a celebration of Christ. I asked for permission just to mention that, and Pastor Greg and the team said I could do that. And so I just want to highlight it for you. I want to invite you to come and be a part of it. Joy 99, who Brad and the whole team, his family, are part of that. Brad and Diane are here this morning, and I just encourage you to come and be a part of what we'll be doing there. Good morning. That's not Brad. That's part of the team here. So I just want to invite you to come and be a part of that special day because we're trusting that the Lord's going to do something special for our community. And, you know, a setting like that, the Highland Civic Center, it's more neutral. It's not a church setting. So maybe you have an unsaved friend or someone you'd like to invite. I just want you to know that's the right setting to bring them to, as I hope you bring them here on a Sunday morning, but just want to make that available to you. This morning, I'm going to be talking about, we got a problem here?
it went to sleep.
Oh, it went to sleep. Yeah. Good. Don't go to sleep during the sermon, okay? We're going to talk today about sowing seeds. Sowing seeds. We call it planting seeds. We don't use the term sowing. I'm sure some farmers do, but we use the word planting seeds. And I'm going to leave you thinking today about what is your life planting? Like 10 years from now, what will be the result of the actions of your day-to-day living in your family? What will be the heritage you pass on? What will be the legacy that your kids pick up from your life, that your grandkids pick up in you? That's what we're going to talk about today, and we're going to use Matthew chapter 13 as our lesson place to look and to learn. And I need to set up what Jesus said in this passage. Because I just got to tell you, I read through the passage many, many times. I've studied it quite a bit the last couple of weeks. There's some confusing stuff in this. Sometimes Jesus said phrases that just made me go, wow, if I'd have been around him, hanging around with him, I think I would have thought, man, is he thinking normal today? What's going on in his mind? Because that's what happens here. Before we get to chapter 13, in chapter 12, Jesus is in a house teaching. And the people have swarmed around to hear his brilliant teaching. Because when he spoke, it must have been spellbinding. People came from everywhere. And then he would do miracles. So everybody wanted to be a part of it. So I want you to get the setting. He's in the house teaching. He just shared a killer conversation. People were loving it. And somebody walked up to him in the house and said, hey, Jesus, this was great teaching, but I just want you to know, outside the house, your mom and your brothers just showed up, and they came to see you. And Jesus looked at the person who said that to him and said, who is my mom? Who are my brothers? What? Can y'all imagine if after Pastor Greg taught here last week, he's standing right here and you come up to him and some of his out-of-town family's driven and you walk up to him and say, Greg, great sermon today. I really liked it. But just so you know, right out in the lobby, your mom came and some of your brothers, your siblings are there. And if he looked at you and said, who is my mom? Who are my brothers? You'd be like, code red. We got a problem with Pastor Greg. That's just not normal conversation. And here's why Jesus did that. He's so far ahead of us. He thought with such an eternal view. He's not saying anything negative about the fact that his mom and siblings are out there. What he's saying is, do you guys ever stop and think eternal? Because he's about to go into this lesson on what we plant. And he's saying to them, do you plant for this earth? Is most of your time spent on earthly things? Because he's just like, in the kingdom of heaven, I've been there. I know what it's like. When we get to heaven, do y'all know, when we say family reunion, do y'all realize it will be, all of you will be my brothers and sisters. We will forego this earthly thing. Because let's just be honest, many of us this week spent a lot of time on this earth working on things for our family. Very small thinking. Not eternal. We're not thinking about the kingdom of heaven. We're thinking about, do I have enough stuff laid up so that if something happened to me, everybody would be okay? It's called West Michigan. We do it really, really well here. We're good at it. Dutch people are even better at it. They tell me this. When I moved here from the Carolinas, they would say to me, you're not Dutch. You need to learn some stuff from us. Really good at making sure our family, do you see my hands shrinking? Is really well taken care of. And Jesus went, who is your family? What is your life about? I've been to heaven. I came from there. Y'all need to know in heaven, this stuff will seem insignificant. And you need to make sure you're planting seeds at that level. So that's the context. So Jesus walks outside the house. It doesn't even say in Scripture he greeted his mom and sister and his brothers. It doesn't even say he greeted them. It says he left the house. He walked outside. Such a large crowd was there that he got in a boat. And as we know quite often, he shifted out in the water so more people could hear him speak. And then he said this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, and this should fit a lot of people sitting in here this morning because there's a lot of planting happens within the 10-mile radius of Fairhaven Ministries. I'll be driving back to Sandy Pines right after this. I pass lots of fields of corn, lots of fields of different seeds that have been planted. So we know what this means. There are farmers in here. You spend a lot of money on seeds to plant. So we get this. A farmer went out to sow seeds. As he was scattering some fell on the path and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on a rocky place where it didn't have soil. Sprang up quickly. Because the soil was shallow and the sun came up, the plants were scorched because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil. Multiplied 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. That's all he said. His disciples came to him after he said that and said, why do you always speak to us in parables? Because you need to know, Jesus, this is really confusing. Like, we get it, but what are all the things? What is the thorn? What is the rocky place? Can you explain this to us, Jesus? Because we're having to formulate what we think it means. Listen to Jesus' words. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoa. He's talking to those who he's right beside, his disciples, and he's saying to his disciples, hey, you guys get this, but those Pharisees right over there, they don't get it. They don't understand it. And you need to know a little later, like this is the beginning of chapter 13. If I go a little later, all the way down to verse 34, Jesus spoke all things in crowds and parables. He did not say anything to them without saying it in a parable. So what was in Scripture could be fulfilled. It's Psalm 78, verse 2. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So what I'm about to share with you this morning was formed at the creation of the world. Jesus says to us in 2025, this was set way back in the beginning, because you're going to go through time and you're going to live your life just like everybody has for eons. And I want to give you a principle that you need to apply to your life. And when I think of, and this is probably going to offend a few of you this morning, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I grew up, and a lot of times when I heard sermons about sowing seeds, if I'm just honest with you, it was about giving money to some church or to some televangelist or someone on TV so that you could get blessings back if you'll just send. Listen, I know it's $100, and I know you don't have a lot, but if you'll send it that $100, plant that seed. I'll rub this cloth, I'll mail it to you, and you, in 3 weeks, you're going to just trust me. I have a good friend. His mom lives in Indiana, and she lives broke because she sends everything she gets to a televangelist who rubs cloths and sends it to her. And as a pastor, I can speak on behalf of myself, and I only represent me. I don't represent the whole leadership team. It ticks me off. I don't like that. Here's why. I never saw Jesus saying to anyone in the audience, give me stuff, like give me financial stuff, and I'll make sure you're all prosperity, rich, and everything else. I never, in fact, I saw Jesus doing the opposite, saying, don't set your treasure up on this earth, because you've got a mighty, crazy, awesome treasure coming for yourself in heaven. So for those of you who grew up or have ever seen that sowing seeds is just about money and financial gain, I'm sorry, that's not what it's about. Let me make it real clear. The sower is Jesus, the seed is the Word of God, and the ground, the soil, is the world, us. That's what it's about. Sowing seeds is about Jesus saying, I came to plant myself into the good soil that would be willing to hear the word of God, and I'm asking you to follow after me. That's what Jesus said. And I'm going to today show you what that looks like out of Matthew 13 with a simple, short little snippet of a parable. He spoke a lot of parables in this chapter. Listen to this one. Think of Jesus. Think of what I just told you sowing is. Jesus said this: the kingdom of heaven is a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows up, it's the largest of garden plants and actually becomes a tree. And the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. That's it. That's the whole parable. Let me make it real simple. Jesus said, I am the sower. I will plant myself in your life. You will blossom and become a tree, and people around you will find peace and calmness and joy from just being around you because you're a follower of me. That's what sowing the seed means. So, it begs the question, And I realize some of you today are not from this area, might even have some guests from literally in another country. But I came today to ask you a simple question. It's going to come up on the screen. It's very easy to think about. What do you see the people in West Michigan sowing? What do you see the people of West Michigan sowing? And I have an answer that I'm going to put up on the screen that I see the people of West Michigan sowing, and I'm including myself in this. A whole lot of here and now stuff. That's what we sow. We invest a lot of time. If I just step back and go, when I'm in a restaurant, when I'm sitting out in public, etc., and I hear people talking, what do I hear them talking about? What do I hear them spending their time in? I hear a lot of people spending. And now, none of this is telling you that what you're doing is wrong. I'm not saying that because we live in the here and now. I'm going to talk about myself. I'm going to throw myself under the bus this morning. But I want you just to listen for a second. I hear a lot of kids talking about the sports teams. I hear a lot of parents talking about their travel weekends. I hear a lot of people talking about what they got to get involved in. And it's all here and now. And it's good things. But if that's it, then we're missing out. Last Friday, not 2 days ago, a week from last Friday, I went to Chicago with my son. We drove there. We spent 2.5-3 hours driving there. We spent 2.5-3 hours driving home. And we talked for at least 2 hours, I would tell you in the car, for at least 2 hours, we talked about this. This. I'm holding it in my hand. You say, what is that? It is a Michael Jordan basketball card. We spent at least 2 hours discussing this card. Here and now. Holdable in my Hannibal. It's right here. So you need to understand, we're just living normal life. I have a dear friend who spent a few weeks ago, he spent at least 5 hours trying to buy Bitcoin on Coinbase. Couldn't figure it out. Here and now stuff. Is it wrong? No. But Jesus said, if this ultimately consumes you, then your life is out of order. Now, it's really important this morning. I'm a preacher by nature. I don't consider myself just a biblical teacher. I consider myself a preacher. I believe I was called by the Lord to flat out push you hard. Like I just do. I believe I was called of the Lord to try to share truths with you. I'm trying to challenge myself in these same truths. I don't stand up here as, I'm innocent and you're guilty. No, I stand up here going, we all are trying to figure out how to live in the here and now and still focus on godly things. And obviously, the people in Jesus' day struggle with the same thing, or he wouldn't have had to tell these parables. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little different view. Honestly, nothing helps me better. There's a little picture coming up on the screen of a picture taken out a plane window. When I fly, and I fly over a big city, and I look out the plane window, I can't remember, I believe this is Indianapolis. When I fly over a big city and I look out that window, I get a better perspective. When Jane and I have been through some real hard family issues, and I drive over a big city like this, and I'm on a plane, and I'm maybe flying home, and I'm thinking about those issues, I will literally look out that plane window and go, oh my, oh my. There's a lot of homes in this picture where there's got to be some great trials. There's got to be some situations that, wow, are crazy. And at this This looked like I'm around 10,000 feet. At 10,000 feet, those issues seem trivial. Like if you stayed at the 10,000 foot level, none of the stuff on this earth would matter. And what Jesus was able to do, because he had been there and done that and been in heaven, he kept saying, can y'all come up here and get a little better perspective? I know you live in the here and now. I know you're living in today. I know. I get your lives. I get that that's my mom out there and that's my brothers out there. But can I, every now and then, can I call you up a little higher so that you look down and go, oh, I got to make sure I'm planting for the future, which is the kingdom of God. This earth will pass away. I'm speaking to an audience who largely, I know, believes that. But boy, don't we get caught up in the here and now? I do. And I have to be reminded, Dan, enjoy this, but look how big it is. Look how much time you spent on it this week. Okay, Lord, I got it. I know it's not evil or wrong, but man, don't let that become my main point and my main focus of life. And it's easy to do. And this message seems so simple. Like every one of you are going, really? This is it? Yeah. Jesus was just constantly reminding us, big picture, kingdom view. And all I'm saying to you this morning is, how are you doing with that? And what are you planting? And so here's what I want to do. I thought about the greatest thing I could teach that I think this morning would be to try to say, what did Jesus sow? What did he plant that he taught us to plant? And for me, they're the fruits of the Spirit recorded in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I can't think of any seeds better for us to leave here planting and sowing than those fruits of the Spirit. So literally this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about things that make the kingdom of heaven grow. And Jesus said those things are God's Word. Jesus pointed to God's Word and said, I am Jesus, I am the sower, and I'm sowing God's Word into this world. So, fit nice. So I'm going to just literally have words come up on the screen. I'm going to talk about them. But more than anything, I'm going to ask you, are you sowing that? I don't really feel like I have to check on and making sure that you guys are sowing this. I think you got that covered. I think I got this covered. I think about the future. I think about my family. I think about my grandkids. I want to leave some things for them. I think about that stuff. I think about, well, you know, am I leaving them in pretty good shape? I do. That's temporal. Am I planting the eternal seeds in my family as well? And so I'm just simply going to let you, with zero guilt. This message is not meant for, we are so good at guilting ourselves in the church. This isn't about guilt. This is about me going, I do the one thing pretty good. I want to make sure I'm doing the other pretty good too. So here they are. Here's the first one. Are you sowing love? That's a confusing word in our society. Many people turn it into something sexual. It's not love. Are you sowing God's love? Kingdom love into people. Best way I can illustrate it is a lesson I learned. Jane and I went out to dinner with a couple in Grand Rapids. We were in downtown Grand Rapids. We were going to eat in a downtown Grand Rapids restaurant. We're walking down one of those main streets in Grand Rapids toward a restaurant, that busier area of the city. If you've ever walked down there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We were walking with the couple. I was walking by the guy. She was walking by the lady. We're walking to the restaurant. It's right around the corner. We're getting very close to it. And a homeless person came up and said, would you guys give me some money? And I didn't say anything, and my friend I'm going to protect his name. It was a wonderful thing he did, but I didn't ask him for permission to share this. And so he just looked at the homeless person and said, well, have you got 30 minutes? And the guy said, yeah. He said, well, I don't want to just hand you money. Sir, would you be willing to have dinner with us? Like, we're going into this restaurant to have dinner, and you're homeless. You don't have any food, right? No, I don't have any food. Is there any chance, will you just come with us and go to dinner with us? I was blown away. I'm like, wait, this guy's going to dinner with us? Jane and I just looked at each other like, okay. And the guy said, sure. And now five of us are walking to dinner. Two couples and a homeless dude. And he smelled like a homeless guy. He looked like a homeless guy. He had teeth like a homeless guy. You say, you're being judgmental. I'm telling you what I saw. We walk in the restaurant. My friend and I sit here. Jane and the wife sit there. My friend pulled a chair up from the homeless guy, sit right at the end of the table. Got him a menu. He ordered his food. My friend looked at him and said, well, I invited you here because I'd just love to know a little more about your life and how you ended up homeless. Would you tell me? I get chills right now. I'm sitting here going, this is astounding. I am a for-hire preacher, and I don't do this. I was spellbound. Can I just be honest? I literally watched love happen. I could cry right now thinking about just the way he started. And the guy's telling about hardship and losing family, and he's praying over this homeless guy. The food comes, and my friend said to him, you're probably a little uncomfortable sitting here and eating with us. Would you rather take it outside and eat? And the guy said, I really would. And he said, ma'am, can you put his on a little something to go? And then he said, may I pray for you? And he prayed for the guy. Got up and gave him a big hug. I got up and gave him a hug. I can't remember if Jane did. But I literally watched what I think Jesus would do happen in front of my own eyes. And I have to be honest and tell you, I don't do it that way a lot. For me, it would be a lot easier to hand him $20. But that guy has a soul. And my friend actually loved his soul. Now, I'm not telling y'all sitting in here the next time you do that, you have to do that. I'm not telling you that. But some of you are going, that's a great idea. And I wouldn't have thought of it. And I believe, if I can just get down to the matter of fact, I believe that's what Jesus is saying. Seaborn, can you sow a seed like your friend? Can you actually, Dan, I know you care about the home. I do. I know you care about him, but do any of your actions follow that care? So stinking good. We left that restaurant that night, and I told my friend and his wife, I said, guys, I've never been a part of anything like that. That was amazing. And the way you cared about him and the way, he didn't miss a beat walking down the street going, dude, you got 30 minutes? I'd love for you to eat dinner with us. It just rolled off his tongue. Love rolled off his tongue. And I saw somebody who was living for more than the here and now. I'll probably never see that gentleman again. I'll probably never be in downtown Grand Rapids and run into that guy again. But I'm just going to tell you what I think. I don't think that homeless guy will ever forget that happened. I don't think that's typical. And I ask you, do you ever show non-typical love? It's a fair question. So that's what I'm going to do. I won't take as long on all of them. We're going to be having communion here together. And what a perfect day to have communion. I didn't know we were doing communion this morning. I got here, I'm like, what a perfect message for communion, because are we going to sow into the community what we have been given by Jesus in this bread and in this juice that represents his blood and his body? Are we sowing it out there? Like in the real world, am I sowing that? Because I'm just being honest again. It's easier for me to sow this. It's just easier. Second fruit of the Spirit is joy. I mentioned Joy 99. I didn't ask Brad for permission, but I'm going to use him as an illustration. I know Brad, sitting right over there, him and Diane are. They're part of the radio station that many of you hear. I know that his desire is not just, you know, it's a music station. I get it. But his goal is to try to sow the joy of the Lord into this community through the gift the Lord has given him. And I'm just asking you, where do you sow joy? I wrote this down and I want to read it because it's not that it's that amazing, but when I wrote it down, I was like, that's really good. Because I got to tell you, the last 10 years of my life, and Jane and I together went through hard trials. I would tell you, looking now, I can see what it was all about. I lost my, I would call it happiness, because happiness is circumstantial. Joy is everlasting. I wrote this down. Sometimes when you stop chasing happiness, you actually find true joy. I was chasing the happiness of getting my family all in the same order and making sure everybody's doing good and this one over here is struggling. And wore myself out trying to make sure my family was happy. Not my job. My job is to come in here today and with joy, something that's down deep, that's not based on circumstance, with joy, preach a message of the gospel to you so that you can take it out. That's my calling in life. And doggone it, the more I do this, I have a deep, profound joy down in here that's not tied to how my family's doing. It's not tied to circumstances. It's not tied to how much is this worth. It is tied to the fact that I'm honoring God and I'm sowing seeds to honor his kingdom. And when you discover that in your life, there's a joy that cannot be taken away. And Jesus modeled that. Y'all know what happened to him in that house, right? You know when he went outside and taught. You know somebody over on the sideline was going, can you believe he didn't even speak to his mother? Do you like his loincloth? I don't like that. It seems a little short. People are complaining all the time about something. And Jesus had to go, thank God I don't find my joy in you people because I can't. He was doing eternal things. And sometimes sowing eternal seeds is lonely. And people give you the side eye. What's your motive? What's your real reason? Focus on your call and not making somebody happy. If my 65-year-old preacher self could tell my 30-something-year-old preacher self something, it would have been, stop worrying about what people think about you and go preach the gospel. And today, there's some of you who spend a lot of time worrying about what somebody thinks because you want them to be happy, not your job. You be joyful on what the Lord has called you to do for him, and I believe he will give you true joy down deep. Third seed. I'm just going to go through them. I need to speed up because we only got about 4 minutes. Peace. It's my word for the year. I have a word each year that I adopt in my life. My word this year is peace. What takes away mine? What distractions? Some of you this morning, because of a circumstance, you're not peaceful. Can I remind you, it was Paul who wrote in jail, I have learned, I'm going to use the word, to be content where God has me. This morning, some of you are in a spot that God is allowing for you to get deeper. You might not. You might bail. You might say, no, I'm out. I can't do it. I'm done. I don't like it. I don't like this family issue. I don't like this work issue. I don't like this health issue. I don't like this issue, God. I'm out. I'm not going anymore because you're not blessing me. And I believe if you could hear the deep, thundering voice of the Lord, he would say, I'm trying. It's just I'm taking you so much deeper because I want you to know a true peace. Not a man-made peace. It's eternal. It's really still. It's really quiet in here. Some of you are contemplating what would it be if you found yourself content in a earthly, unpeaceful situation. Wow. I'll keep going. The next one, patience. Patience in the King James versions is actually the word long-suffering. Some of you are in a long-suffering situation where you go, oh, I just want this to pass. I have to think that Jesus, if he could really step back and have told us what it felt like sometime to be him, long-suffering, 33 years of long-suffering. And his patience paid off. Where could you be more patient? What married situation are you in today that if you exercised patience this morning, some things could change? Kindness. I'll just throw this thought out there. It's a little risky, but I like risking. I can't believe what some people post politically. I'm calling you out today if you post things that aren't kind and then hide behind a little click. It's embarrassing. Jane has a friend who, I asked her on the way here, I said, babe, just for my sake this morning, would you go read that friend's post for a second? Because I just sometimes want to say to this person who calls themselves by the name of Christ, says they're followers of Christ, they post some of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life. It's embarrassing. I just want to go, are you serious? You're going to post that online and you say you're a follower of Christ? Come on. Come on. Take it up a notch. Be kind. Well, I disagree with them. Disagree with them kindly. I disagree with a lot of people. But if I said, I'll tell you what, you're just a Be kind. Let me just ask a silly question. What would happen in our political world if everybody went all of a sudden today kind? What? And I love that Jesus never settled to politics. In fact, do you remember the time when the people wanted to make him king? And he saw his disciples were starting to buy in. He said his disciples on a boat and said, get out in the water. No, people, I am not settling for something down here. I am following the King of Kings, not some earthly person. So those of us who are followers of Christ, don't send me emails. I will automatically put them in a delete file. If you're focused on politics, and that is your king, you are not sowing eternally. Risky statement. We'll get some emails. Don't care. Jesus did not focus on earthly kingliness. He focused on eternal things. Do not settle for second tier when God calls us to be here. Here. Thank you. Two people. Goodness, goodness. You know, the best way I can describe it, those of you who have children, especially young children, just be good. Just be good to your sister. Sometimes I think God wants to look at us and go, just be good. Make the right next decision. Do the right thing. You know what the right thing is. Do it. Be good. I love goodness. Faithfulness, you're dependable. You're committed. Gentleness, my time is done. Self-control. I want to finish the whole thing by saying this. Listen, the Bible says, watch this. Against such things, there is no law. After all the fruits of the Spirit are listed, against such things, there is no law. In other words, watch this. The only person keeping you from doing these things, you. No law against it. Nobody telling you you can't do it. Why doesn't everybody do the fruits of the Spirit? Because it's hard. Sometimes envy and jealousy is a whole lot easier. And Jesus calls us to plant seeds. If we partake in communion today, we walk out saying, I'm going to be a seed planter. That's all I got to say. Lord Jesus, today, look at our hearts. Know us deeply. We're here in nowers. And I pray today you would help us to look a little deeper, get a little higher view, help us to see what you want to accomplish. And I pray today that somebody, a neighbor, a homeless dude, somebody out there who doesn't even know it, they've got a little love coming because we're going to show it. And as we partake in this communion today, let us do so with thanksgiving because you were willing to sow into us. And we love you today. Pray your blessing over us. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.